Now all the youth of England are on fire, and silken dalliance in the wardrobe lies. Now thrive the armorers, and honor's thought reigns solely in the breast of every man. They sell the pasture now to buy the horse, following the mirror of all Christian kings with winged heels as English Mercuries. For now sits expectation in the air, and hides a sword from hilts unto the point, with crowns imperial, crowns and coronets, promised to Harry and his followers. The French, advised by good intelligence of this most dreadful preparation, shake in their fear, and with pale policy seek to divert the English purposes. O England, model to thy inward greatness, like little body with a mighty heart, what mightst thou do that honor would thee do, were all thy children kind and natural? But see, thy fault France hath in thee found out, a nest of hollow bosoms, which he fills with treacherous crowns, and three corrupted men. One, Richard Earl of Cambridge, and the second, Henry Lord Scroope of Masham, and the third, Sir Thomas Grey, Knight of Northumberland, have, for their guilt of France, oh, guilt indeed, confirmed conspiracy with fearful France, and by their hands this grace of kings must die, if hell and treason hold their promises, ere he take ship for France and in Southampton. Linger your patience on, and we'll digest the abuse of distance, force a play. The sum is paid, the traitors are agreed, the king is set from London, and the scene is now transported, gentles, to Southampton. There is the playhouse now, there must you sit, and thence to France shall we convey you safe, and bring you back, charming the narrow seas, to give you gentle pass, for, if we may, we'll not offend one stomach with our play. But till the king comes forth, and not till then, unto Southampton do we shift our scene.
Well met, Corporal Nym.
Good morrow, Lieutenant Barnoff.
What, our ancient pistol and you friends yet?
For my part, I care not. I say a little, but when time shall serve, there shall be smiles. But that shall be as it may. I dare not fight, but I will wink and hold out mine iron. It is a simple one, but what though? It'll toast cheese, and it will endure cold, as another man's sword will. Then there's an end.
I will bestow a breakfast to make you friends, and we'll be all three sworn brothers to France. Let it be so, good Corporal Nym.
Faith, I will live so long as I may, that's the certain of it. And when I cannot live any longer, I will do as I may. That is my rest, that is the rendezvous of it.
It is certain, Corporal, that he is married to Nell Quickly, and certainly she did do you wrong, for you were troth plight to her.
I cannot tell. Things must be as they may. Men may sleep, and they may have their throats about them at that time. And some say knives have edges. Yeah, it must be as it may. Though patience be a tired mare, yet she will plod. There must be conclusions. Yeah, well, I cannot tell.
Here comes Ancient Pistol and his wife. Good Corporal, be patient here.
How now, mine host Pistol?
Base tyke! Call'st thou me, host? Now, by this hand, I swear, I scorn the term, nor shall my Nell keep lodgers.
No, by my troth, not long, for we cannot lodge and board a dozen or 14 gentlewomen that live honestly by the prick of their needles, but it be thought we keep a body house straight. Oh, well-a-day! Lady, if it be not drawn now, we shall see willful adultery and murder committed.
Good lieutenant, good corporal, offer nothing here.
Pish, pish for thee, Iceland dog, thou prick-eared cur of Iceland.
Good corporal Nym, show thy valor and put up your sword.
Will you shog off?
Oh!
I would have you solace.
Solace, egregious dog! Oh, viper vile! The solace in thy most mervarious face! The solace in thy teeth, and in thy throat, and in thy hateful lungs! Yea, in thy maw, purdy, and, which is worse, within thy nasty mouth! I do retort the solace in thy bowels, for I can take, and pistol's cock is up, and flashing fire will follow.
I am not Barbasan. You cannot conjure me. I have an humor to knock you indifferently well. If you grow foul with me, Pistol, I will scour you with my rapier, as I may, in fair terms. If you would walk off, I would prick your guts a little, in good terms, as I may. That's the humor of it.
Oh, braggart, vile, and damned furious wight! The grave doth gape, and doting death is near. Therefore, exhale!
Hear me! Hear me what I say! He that strikes the first stroke, I'll run him up to the hilts, as I am a soldier.
An oath of mickle might, and fury shall abate. Give me thy fist, thy forefoot to me give. Thy spirits are most tall.
I will cut thy throat, one time or another, in fair terms. That is the humor of it.
Kufla agorge! That is the word. I thee defy again, O hound of Crete. Thinkest thou my spouse to get? No, to the spittle go, and from the powdering tub of infamy, fetch forth the lazar kite of Cressid's kind, doll tear sheet she by name, and her espouse. I have, and I will hold the quondam quickly, for the only she, and... Pauca, that's enough. Go to!
My horse, Pistol, you must come to my master, Sir John Falstaff. He is very sick, and would to bed. Good Bardolph, put thy face between his sheets and do the office of a warming pan. Faith, he's very ill.
Away, you rogue!
By my troth, he'll yield the crow a pudding one of these days. The king has killed his heart. Good husband, come home presently.
Come. Shall I make you two friends? We must to France together. Why the devil should we keep knives to cut one another's throats?
Let floods all swell, and fiends for food howl on.
You'll pay me the 8 shillings I won of you at betting?
Base is the slave that pays.
That now I will have. That's the humor of it.
As manhood shall compound, push home!
By this sword, he that makes the first thrust, I'll kill him. By this sword I will.
Sword is an oath, and oaths must have their course.
Corporal Nym, and thou wilt be friends, be friends. And thou wilt not, why... Then, be enemies with me too. Prithee, put up.
Shall I have my 8 shillings I won of you at betting?
A noble shalt thou have, and present pay, and liquor likewise will I give to thee. I'll live by Nym, and Nym shall live by me. Is this not just? For I shall sutler be unto the camp, and profits will accrue. Give me thy hand.
I shall have my noble...
In cash, most justly paid.
Well, then, that's the humor of it.
As ever you came of women, come in quickly to Sir John. Oh, poor heart. He is so shaked of a burning quotidian tertian fever that it's most lamentable to behold. Sweet men, come to him.
The king hath run bad humors on the night. That's the even of it.
Nym, thou hast spoke the right. His heart is fracted and corroborate.
The king is a good king. But it must be as it may. He passes some humors and careers.
Let us condole the night, for lambkins we will live.
For God his grace is bold to trust these traitors.
They shall be apprehended by and by.
How smooth and even they do bear themselves. As if allegiance in their bosoms sate crowned with faith and constant loyalty.
The king hath note of all that they intend, by interception which they dream not of.
Nay, but the man that was his bedfellow, whom he had dulled and cloyed with gracious favors, that he should, for a foreign purse, so sell his sovereign's life to death and treachery.
Now sits the wind fair, and we will aboard. My lord of Cambridge and my kind lord of Masham, and you, my gentle knight, give me your thoughts. Think you not that the powers we bear with us will cut their passage through the force of France, doing the execution and the act for which we have in head assembled them?
No doubt, my liege, if each man do his best.
I doubt not that, since we are well persuaded we carry not a heart with us from hence that grows not in a fair consent with ours, nor leave not one behind that doth not wish success and conquest to attend on us.
Never was monarch better feared and loved than is your majesty. There's not, I think, a subject that sits in heart grief and uneasiness under the sweet shade of your government.
True. Those that were your father's enemies have steeped their gulls in honey, and who serve you with hearts create of duty and of zeal.
We therefore have great cause of thankfulness, and shall forget the office of our hand, sooner than quittance of desert and merit, according to the weight and worthiness.
So service shall still its sinew's toil, and labor shall refresh itself with hope to do your grace incessant services.
We judge no less. Uncle of Exeter, enlarge the man committed yesterday that railed against our person. We considered it was excess of wine that sent him on, and on his good advice we pardon him.
That's mercy, but too much security. Let him be punished, sovereign, lest example breed by his sufferance more of such a kind.
Oh, let us yet be merciful.
So may your highness and yet punish too.
Sir, you show great mercy if you give him life after the taste of much correction.
Alas, your too much love and care of me are heavy orisons against this poor wretch. If little faults proceeding on distemper shall not be winked at, how shall we stretch our eye when capital crimes, chewed, swallowed, and digested, appear before us? We'll yet enlarge that man, though Cambridge, Scroope, and Grey, and their dear care and tender preservation of our person, would have him punished. And now to our French causes. Who are the late commissionaires?
I won, my lord. Your highness bade me ask for it today.
So did you be, my liege.
And I, my royal sovereign.
Then, Richard, Earl of Cambridge, there is yours. There yours, Lord Scroope of Masham, and Sir Knight Grey of Northumberland, this is yours. Read them, and know, I know your worthiness. My lord of Westmoreland and my uncle Exeter, we will aboard tonight. Why, how now, gentlemen? What see you in those papers that you lose so much complexion? Look ye how they change! Their cheeks are paper! Why, what read you there that hath so cowarded and chased your blood out of appearance?
You confess my fault and do submit me to your highness's mercy?
To which we both appeal!
The mercy that was quick in us but late, by your own counsel, is suppressed and killed. You must not dare for shame to talk of mercy! For your own reasons turn into your bosoms as dogs upon their masters, worrying you. See you, my princes and my noble peers, these English monsters. My lord of Cambridge here, you know how apt our love was to accord to furnish him with all appurtenance belonging to his honor. And this man hath, for a few light crowns, lightly conspired and sworn unto the practices of France to kill us here in Hampton. To the which this knight, no less for bounty bound to us than Cambridge's, hath likewise sworn. But, oh, what shall I say to thee, Lord Scroope? Thou cruel, ingrateful, savage, and inhuman creature, thou that didst bear the key of all my counsels, that knew'st the very bottom of my soul, that almost mightst have coined me into gold, wouldst thou have practiced on me for thy sake? May it be possible that foreign hire could out of thee extract one spark of evil that might annoy my finger? 'Tis so strange that, though the truth of it stands off as gross as black on white, my eye will scarcely see it. Treason and murder are ever kept together, as two yoke devils sworn to either's purpose, working so grossly in a natural cause, that admiration did not whoop at them. But thou, gainst all proportion, didst bring in wonder to wait on treason and on murder. And whatsoever cunning fiend it was that wrought upon thee so preposterously, hath got the voice in hell for excellence. All other devils that suggest by treasons do botch and bungle up damnation with patches, colors, and with forms being fetched from glistering semblances of piety. But he that tempered thee bade thee stand up, gave thee no instance why thou shouldst do treason, unless to dub thee with the name of traitor. If that same demon that hath gulled thee thus, should with his lion gait walk the whole world, he might return to vasty Tartar back, and tell the legions, I can never win a soul so easy as this Englishman's. Oh,
How hast thou with jealousy infected the sweetness of affiance? Show men dutiful? Why, so didst thou. Seem they grave and learned? Why, so didst thou. Come they of noble family? Why, so didst thou. Seem they religious? Why, so didst thou. Or are they spare in diet, free from gross passion or of mirth or anger, constant in spirit, not swerving with the blood, garnished and decked in modest compliment, not working with the eye without the ear, and but in perjured judgment trusting neither? Such and so finely bolted didst thou seem, and thus thy fall hath left a kind of blot to mark the full-fraught man and best endued with some suspicion. I will weep for thee, for this revolt of thine, methinks, is like another fall of man. Their faults are open. Arrest them to the answer of the law, and God acquit them of their practices.
I arrest thee of high treason by the name of Richard, Earl of Cambridge. I arrest thee of high treason by the name of Henry, Lord Scroope of Masham. I arrest thee of high treason by the name of Thomas Grey, Knight of Northumberland.
Our purposes God justly hath discovered, and I repent my fault more than my death, which I beseech your highness to forgive, although my body pay the price of it.
For me the Geralt of France did not seduce, although I did admit it as a motive the sooner to effect what I intended. But God be thanked for prevention, which I in sufferance heartily will rejoice, beseeching God and you to pardon me.
Never did faithful subject more rejoice at the discovery of most dangerous treason than I do at this hour joy o'er myself, prevented from a damned enterprise. My fault, but not my body, pardon, sovereign.
God quit you on his mercy. Hear your sentence. You have conspired against our royal person, joined with an enemy proclaimed, and from his coffers received the golden earnest of our death, wherein you would have sold your king to slaughter, his princes and his peers to servitude, his subjects to oppression and contempt, and his whole kingdom into desolation. Touching our person, seek we no revenge, but we our kingdom's safety must so tender, whose ruin you have sought, that to her laws we do deliver you. Get you therefore hence, poor miserable wretches, to your death. The taste whereof God of his mercy give you patience to endure, and true repentance of all your dear offences. Bear them hence. Now, lords, for France, the enterprise whereof shall be to you as us, like glorious. We doubt not of a fair and lucky war, since God so graciously hath brought to light this dangerous treason lurking in our way to hinder our beginnings. We doubt not now, but every rub is smoothed on our way. Then forth, dear countrymen, let us deliver up puissance into the hand of God, putting it straight in expedition. Cheerily to see the signs of war advance. No king of England, if not king of France.
Pray thee, honey, sweet husband, let me bring thee to Staines.
No, for my manly heart doth yearn. Hard off, be bly. Nim, rouse thy vaunting veins. Boy, bristle thy courage up. For Falstaff he is dead, and we must yearn, therefore.
Would I were with him, wheresoever he is, either in heaven or in hell.
Nay, sure, he's not in hell. He's in Arthur's bosom. If ever man went to Arthur's bosom, he made a finer end, and went away, and it had been any christened child. Parted even just between 12 and 1, even at the turning of the tide. For after I saw him fumble with the sheets, and play with flowers, and smile upon his fingers' ends, I knew there was but one way. For his nose was as sharp as a pin, and it babbled of green fields. How now, Sir John, quoth I, what man be of good cheer? So he cried out, God! God, God, 3 or 4 times. Now I, to comfort him, bid he should not think of God. I hope there was no need to trouble himself with any such thoughts yet. So he bade me lay more clothes on his feet. I put my hand into his bed and felt them. They were as cold as any stone. And then I felt his knees. And they were as cold as any stone. And so upward and upward. And all was as cold as any stone.
They say he cried out of sack.
Aye, that he did.
And of women.
Nay, that he did not.
Yes, that he did. And said they were devils incarnate.
Could never abide carnation. 'Twas a color he never liked.
Said once the devil would have him about women.
Oh, did in some sort indeed handle women. But then he was rheumatic and talked of the horror of Babylon.
Do you not remember? He saw a flea stick upon Bardolph's nose, and he said it was a black soul burning in hell's fire.
Well, the fuel is gone that maintained that fire. That's all the riches I got in his service.
Shall we, Shorg? The king will be gone from Southampton.
Come, let's away. My love, give me thy lips. Look to my chattels and my movables. Let senses rule. The word is pitch and pay. Trust none. For oaths are straws, men's faiths are wafer cakes, and hold fast is the only dog, my duck. Therefore, Cavito be thy counselor. Go, clear thy crystals. Yoke fellows in arms, let us to France, like horse leeches, my boys. To suck the very blood to suck.
That's but unwholesome food, they say.
Touch her soft mouth and march.
Farewell, hostess.
I cannot kiss. That is your of it, but adieu.
Let housewifery appear. Keep close, I thee commend.
Farewell. Adieu.
Thus comes the English with full power upon us, and more than carefully it us concerns to answer royally in our defences. Therefore the Dukes of Berry and of Breton, of Brabant and of Orleans shall make forth. And you, Prince Dauphin, with all swift dispatch to line and new repair our towns of war with men of courage and with means defendant. For England, his approaches makes us fierce as waters to the sucking of a gulf. It fits us to be as provident as fear may teach us out of late examples left by the fatal and neglected English upon our fields.
My most redoubted father, it is most meet we arm us against this foe. For peace itself should not so dull a kingdom, though war nor no known quarrel were in question, but the defences, musters, preparations should be maintained, assembled, and collected, as were a war in expectation. Therefore I say 'tis meet we all go forth to view the sick and feeble parts of France. And let us do it with no show of fear. No, no, with no more than if we heard that England were busied with a Whitsun Morris dance. For my good liege, she is so idly kinged. Her scepter so fantastically borne by a vain, giddy, shallow, humorous youth, that fear attends her not.
Oh, peace, Prince Dauphin. You are too much mistaken in this king. Question your grace, the late ambassadors, with what great state he heard their embassy. How well supplied with noble counselors, how modest in exception, and withal how terrible in constant resolution. And you shall find his vanities forespent were but the outside of the Roman Brutus, covering discretion with a coat of folly. As gardeners do with ordure hide those roots that shall first spring, and be most delicate.
Which is not so, my lord high constable. But though we think it so, it is no matter. In cases of defence, 'tis best to weigh the enemy more mighty than he seems, so the proportions of defence are filled. Which if a weak or niggardly projection doth like a miser spoil his coat with scanting a little cloth.
Think we King Harry strong, and princes, look you strongly armed to meet him. The kindred of him hath been fleshed upon us, and he is bred of that bloody strain that haunted us in our familiar paths. Witness our too much memorable shame when Creasy Battle fatally was struck. And all our princes, captived by the hand of that black name, Edward, Black Prince of Wales, and whilst that his mountain sire, on a mountain standing up in the air, crowned with the golden sun, saw his heroical seed, and smiled to see him mangle the work of nature, and deface the patterns that by God and by French fathers had 20 years been made. This is a stem of that victorious stock, and let us fear the native mightiness and fate of him.
Ambassadors from Harry, King of England, do crave admittance to your majesty.
We'll give them present audience. Go and bring them. You see? This chase is hotly followed, friends.
Turn head and stop pursuit. For coward dogs most spend their mouths when what they seem to threaten runs far before them. Good my sovereign, take up the English short, and let them know of what a monarchy you are the head. Self-love, my liege, is not so vile a sin as self-neglecting.
From our brother of England?
From him. And thus he greets your majesty. He wills you, in the name of God Almighty, that you divest yourself and lay apart the borrowed glories that by gift of heaven, by law of nature, and of nations, long to him and to his heirs, namely the crown, and all wide-stretched honors that pertain by custom and the ordinance of times unto the crown of France. That you may know 'tis no sinister nor no awkward claim picked from the wormholes of long-vanished days, nor from the dust of old oblivion raked, he sends you this most memorable line in every branch truly demonstrative, willing to overlook this pedigree. And when you find him evenly derived from his most famed of famous ancestors, Edward III, he bids you then reside your crown and kingdom, indirectly held from him, the true and native challenger.
Or else what follows?
Bloody constraint. For if you hide the crown, even in your hearts, there will he rake for it. Therefore, in fierce tempest is he coming, in thunder and in earthquake, like a Jove that, if requiring fail, he will compel, and bids you, in the bowels of the Lord, deliver up the crown and to take mercy on the poor souls for whom this hungry war opens his vasty jaws. And on your head, turning the widow's tears, the orphan's cries, the dead men's blood, the pining maiden's groans for husbands, fathers, and betrothed lovers that shall be swallowed in this controversy, this is his claim, his threatening, and my message. Unless the Dauphin be in presence here, to whom expressly I bring greeting.
We will consider of this further. Tomorrow shall you bear our full intent back to our brother of England.
For the Dauphin? I stand here for him. What to him from England?
Scorn and defiance. Slight regard, contempt, and anything that may not misbecome the mighty sender doth he prize you at. Thus says my king. And if your father's highness do not, in grant of all demands at large, sweeten the bitter mock you sent his majesty, he'll call you to so hot an answer of it that caves and woomy voltages of France shall chide your trespass, and return your mock in second accent of his ordinance.
Say if my father render fair return, it is against my will, for I desire nothing but odds with England. To that end, as matching to his youth and vanity, I did present him with the Paris balls.
He'll make your Paris louvre shake for it, were it the mistress court of mighty Europe. And be assured, you'll find a difference, as we his subjects have in wonder found, between the promise of his greener days and these he masters now. Now he weighs time even to the utmost grain. That you shall find in your own losses if he stay in France.
Tomorrow shall you know our mind at full.
Dispatch us with all speed, lest that our king come here himself to question our delay, for he is footed in this land already.
You shall be soon dispatched with fair conditions. A night is but small breath and little pause to answer matters of this consequence.